Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
I have a question for you. Are you familiar with the phrase, too far gone? Yeah, like that's something is too far gone. For years, I've had a dream about having long hair. It's real, isn't it? I mean, people think it's funny and it's real. Like, I have dreams, you know, I have feelings too. But specifically, I would love to have dreads. Like, I just think that would be the coolest experience. I mean, beads in it and everything. I want to have dreads. But at this point, like, I've waited a little while and I think I'm going to have to keep waiting for heaven for that because that dream's just a little too far gone for now. But, I mean, look on the bright side. I can do it for like 10,000 years there and it'll be as a day. Like, how great will that be? But you see, this phrase, that's too far gone, is normally referring to something that we think or we feel is beyond reach or beyond repair, maybe beyond hope. It's too far gone. A couple weeks ago when the storm from Hurricane Debbie came through the valley, a pretty big oak tree, I mean, I call them bear hugging size, you know, yay big, a pretty big oak tree came down in our yard. So I called Mike Dean, Dean's Tree Service, great guy. I said, hey, you know, can you come out and take a look at this thing for me? Yeah, sure. So he shows up that evening, and we start looking at this giant oak tree that's down. And on the rest of our property there's been a couple oak trees this year that have turned brown from bottom to top. Like, it's been dry this year, right? And so while he was there, I said, hey, what do you think about these other oak trees? Some of them are close to the house. I said, can we look at those while your stuff's here? And he said, let's go. And so we take a walk around the yard, and we come to one, the closest one to the house that's turned brown. And I said, what do you think? Do we go ahead and deal with this while you're here? Now, if you know Mike, he's got a great big old tree cutter beard on him. It's marvelous. Well, he's standing there. He's rubbing that great big old beard, looking up at the tree. And he says basically to the effect, I had things too far gone. It ain't coming back next year. It's too far gone. It's beyond hope. It's gone. Last week, we began a new four-part teaching series called For One. For One. Throughout this series, we are seeking to know and to understand the power of Jesus's one-at-a-time approach to reaching the lost. We believe for sure that Jesus came to save the whole world, that through his life, death, and resurrection, that he has made a pathway of salvation, a way to life for all who will put their faith and trust in him. We believe that Jesus, in that sense, is for everyone, any and all who will turn to him. But the way we see Jesus in his earthly ministry time and time again live out the worldwide redemption plan was one person at a time. One at a time. Jesus is for one. So as we are in this series, we're seeking to study and watch Jesus' missional strategy, if you will, for one person at a time. And specifically, what would that look like for you and for me to adopt that same strategy? One person at a time. One at a time. You see, so many times our focus is on the many. We pray for our country, our community, our world, and let's keep doing that. That's part of our calling as the church. But sometimes for our focus on the many, we lose sight of the one that may be right in front of us. For one, what would it look like for us to adopt Jesus' strategy, that we would specifically seek the Lord, that he would give us someone's name, that he would place someone on our hearts and break our hearts for that one person? That yes, we would pray for them, but that we would go beyond prayer, that we would begin to look at our lives and reshape our schedule and our day-to-day life so that we can invest in that person. Not so we can make them a project, Not so we can hit them over the head with a gospel tract, but so we can simply allow the love of Jesus to flow through us in relationship to that one person until they know the love of Jesus for themselves. What would that look like? That's what it is to be for one. That's this whole idea that we would invest in one. As we commit to this journey together, I recognize that as we pray, as we seek the Lord, that He's going to answer that prayer. And I recognize today that the name that He might put on your heart might cause a response inside of ours. Maybe the name that He gives us causes us to have a few doubts. Really, Lord, is that the one? Maybe even concerns. Maybe the one that the Lord's going to put on your heart in this series, in this journey of grace, maybe the one is going to have been in trouble so many times. Maybe they've tried to quit so many times. Maybe they've burned every bridge they've gone across. Maybe they've hurt too many people. Maybe they've even looked us square in the eye and said, I don't want anything to do with church. What happens when that's the one that Jesus breaks your heart for? Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt that way? You see, today, as we continue in our teaching series, we're going to be in Luke chapter 8. We're going to see that Jesus is willing to go through a life-threatening storm with His disciples into a foreign land to reach one person who everyone would have said was too far gone. Jesus is for that one, too. Before we dive into our scripture, would you join me in prayer today? Lord, we thank You today that You are for one. That You see the one, even the ones that we might, something inside of us might feel or say or push back because they're too far gone. God, You see that one, too. And so, Lord, today as we dive in Your word, we want to know Your spirit. We want to know Your voice, Lord, and we want to see Your power to reach the one because there is no such thing as too far gone for You. Lord, speak to us today through Your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke chapter 8, we're going to begin in verse 26. We're going to read and unpack, work our way through the text this morning. So beginning at verse 26, in Luke's gospel, says they sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, He was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. Our teaching text today begins with some travel logistics, right? And it's setting the location, it's setting the narrative place of our story. Earlier, if you were going to rewind in Luke's gospel, and even chronologically, Jesus and His disciples had encountered a great storm the night before. Earlier in this text, in chapter 8, we find the miracle of Jesus calming the wind and the waves. You remember, the disciples, some of them were trained fishermen. They were used to storms, but this storm that night had them petrified. They were afraid they were going to die. They were drowning. So they wake Jesus up saying, bro, don't you care that we're about to die? And what's He do? He speaks peace, and the storm is stilled. That's what's leading up to the story we're in today. That boat comes to the shore, and as Jesus steps out, this demon-possessed man comes running down and meets Jesus right there on the seashore. For a long time, the text tells us that this man had lived in the graveyard without clothing, making his home among the graves. This story is recounted in multiple gospels. In Mark's account, it says here that the man had been screaming out day and night. Now, I want us to take a time out because in the easy reading, NIV or English translation, it's easy for us to read past this without getting into it, without feeling the enormity, the seriousness of what's happening. So I want you to work with me. This is going to take a little imagination. I've got faith in you. We can do this together. So this is a picture of Elk Run. Remember, I want us to get in the story. This is Elk Run. It's right out behind town, quiet, quaint setting, familiar to all of you, I am quite sure. Well, imagine with me today as we try to get in this story in Luke, imagine with me for a moment that there's a man that lives in this cemetery. He doesn't have a home. He lives here. He's about 5'10", brown, matted hair. He hasn't shaved in a while, but he doesn't have a full beard. It's patchy, and it only covers part of his face. Can you see him? He's naked, not a stitch of clothing on, but yet his body is worn and bent from years of neglect. He's dirty. Can you see him? He doesn't have a home. So in desperation, he has literally dug up a coffin and emptied its contents so he can have shelter. Do you know him? He's lost his home. He's lost his identity. Nobody even knows his name. He's lost his family. It even appears he's lost his soul. Rumors, as you might imagine, would swirl around our small community about this man who lives in the graveyard. Even at night, you can hear him shouting crazy things. As you pull through the stop sign to head back a town of Elkton, he's been seen and known to come up and jump on cars. Do you know him? That's the guy in our story. How would you feel? I mean, can we just be honest? When we see someone holding a sign asking for money by the store, when they look at us at the intersection, don't we feel a little, huh? How would you feel if this guy came running up to your car from Elk Run? Can you see him? I love in this whole section, the disciples are nowhere to be found. I don't know what they were doing. I have a sneaky suspicion that if I was there, I would have probably done the same thing they did. You see this crazed guy running down the bank, say, nope, I'm staying in the boat. Jesus, you got this, right? Jesus is for the one, this one. Let's continue. Verse 28 says, when he saw Jesus, this is the man running down the bank. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me. For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and been driven by the demons into solitary places. What we see is that all other attempts to restrain, to bring this man under control, had failed. The evil spirits possessing this man had such power and such control over him, he was able to break free from chains. Think about that. Nothing had worked. Nothing had worked. But at the very presence of Jesus, these evil spirits know they've met their end. They know that they are done. They know who Jesus is, the Son of the Most High God. They know him. They know him. It's that they seem to understand their fate, that Jesus is the victor, the power over them, because they are basically asking him for mercy. And what we see illustrated in this passage is the immense power of Jesus over the most seemingly uncontrollable forces in this man's life. At the very presence of Jesus, they fall at his feet. He, Jesus, is clearly in control of the situation. Let's continue. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" Legion, he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. What we see here is that the evil forces controlling this man's life were so sure of their demise, of their ultimate fate, that they begin to try to bargain with Jesus. Notice how much the text says, begged repeatedly. They begged. They're trying to strike a deal. Anything but the ultimate end, Jesus. They know that he is the ultimate authority. And so as they're begging for attention or for mercy, for an alternative, there's been much study about that's gone into the possession of this man. How many demons? How did it happen? What does that mean for us today? And look, there's a time and a place for all that. But for us today, what I want us to see is the ultimate power and authority of Jesus. Because all of the demonic conversation aside, all of that whole conversation bows at the feet of Jesus. That's where I want to be. That's who I want to know. He is the ultimate authority. One commentator says, his name is Daryl Bach. He says it this way. He says, Jesus may have been outnumbered, speaking of the amount of evil spirits, demons in this man. He says, Jesus may have been outnumbered, but he was certainly not outmatched. He was certainly not outmatched. He is in control because he is greater. Back in our text, as we read this text in 2024, we almost have to stop and address the pigs because I know somebody is thinking about it right now. What did those poor little piggies do to deserve their fate, right? You laugh. It's in every commentary I read this week. I don't want to take a shortcut answer out. Maybe you saw them at the fair this week. They were fine. But I don't want to take a shortcut answer to this, but the place we have to start is that we culturally view animals differently now than they did in the first century. So we're already starting at a different gap. There's a 2,000-year gap there in difference. Something else to note about this story, this is taking place in a Gentile region. So for the Jewish reader, swine, pigs were unclean animals. They were of no value. And so a Jewish reader, a Jewish observer of this would have thought nothing about it. I know that doesn't pacify us, but one last note, I would say that it's important to realize that Jesus didn't command the pigs over the bank. The evil spirits possessed them and they went. And what we see there is just a glimpse of the destructive power of evil over whatever it's inhabiting. So let's recap where we've been. Let's catch up with the story. Jesus sails ashore, approached by a wild man, broken free from chains in the past. He has every mark of insanity in the Jewish thought. This guy falls at the feet of Jesus. He bows before him, showing him authority and respect. It's the most normal thing anyone has seen this man do in years. Jesus dialogues with an evil spirit. He ultimately casts them out, granting permission that they can go into this herd of pigs. And so one large herd of pigs goes squealing over the bank and into the abyss. What would you do? Remember, this is pre-iPhone. We're not posting this to social. You're going to run and tell somebody, right? And that's what happens in our text. Let's continue at verse 34. It says, when those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they, the people who saw this, were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. So, obviously, the people come running out of town. They have to see this, what's happening. They've known the guy, and now you're hearing a story about some pigs, and he's healed, and you're going to go check it out. And so the people arrive on the scene, and they don't see a crazed man anymore. They see a new creation sitting at the feet of Jesus. What I love about this, what the NIV translates, he had been cured in the original language, that has the idea of being saved, of being rescued, of being made whole. This man wasn't cured from a disease. He was rescued from the power of sin and darkness. He was remade and transformed into a new creation in Christ. He is new. And what we see and what the people saw is a power they didn't have category for. It's the power of Jesus to remake one lost soul. What's amazing to me is that the people were afraid of that. It's like they couldn't wrap their minds around it, and their fear and their response, it gets worse. Look at verse 37. It says, then all the people of the region of Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave because they were overcome with fear. So Jesus got into the boat and left. I'm sorry, what? That's their response. Jesus, you gotta go. We can't handle this. Like they didn't have a category for it. They had some kind of feeling about this guy too, right? They were more afraid of the power that rescued him than the power that had previously possessed him. We don't know what they were afraid of. Maybe they thought their farming industry was going down the drain. But whatever they thought, they didn't want any part of it. And so Jesus, he leaves. He sails out. What about the man? What happened to him? Where's his story go? Well, let's continue verse 38. It says, the man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away. It's interesting, isn't it? Jesus sends him away saying, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. The man who received new life also received a new mission. His response is natural, right? He has been set free. He's been made new. Jesus, I want to go with you. And he says, no. What do you mean, no? And Jesus says, no. I have a plan for you. Wow. The one that was too far gone is now a missionary to tell all of his hometown what Jesus has done. He's for one. Friends, there is no such thing as too far gone for Jesus. And it's as true as that is in Luke chapter 8. It's true for us today. It's true for the one in your life. There's no evil force greater than the power of Jesus. Not an evil spirit, not an addiction, not an illness, nothing. Nothing. And I know today that there are stories in the lives of our loved ones that hurt. Maybe we have good reason to have that pause in our spirit. And look, I'm not here to make light of those stories. But I also recognize that as we begin this journey together, seeking the Lord, seeking Him to give us one person, that reaction might still be there. Maybe you've already been praying for this person for years, working with it, investing, and honestly, some part of you has just given up hope. They're too far gone. It's been too long. Time and time again, nothing's changed. Maybe it's lies, addictions, poor choices, broken relationships. They just seem too far. Friend, those feelings are real. It's real. And the truth is, I think it's okay to say it this way. Someone very well might be too far for us to reach. But there's no one too far for Jesus. He's for one. As the band begins to make their way forward, I would ask you to stand with me today. We have created small cards and placed them in the tables in the back. They simply have our series logo, 4-1, and the sheep from the 99 and the 1. And throughout this series, I'm inviting everyone to grab that card and to begin this journey. To seek the Lord, who He would have you to invest in. Who's the one? Not to take someone as a spiritual project, not because they need fixing, but because they need to be loved. They need to experience Jesus through you. To keep up with their doctor's appointments, their kids' ball games, to be invested in their lives. And look, there's so many ways that the Lord can work through us to show His love, to reach His grace out through us one at a time. We don't have to have gospel tracts and all the right answers. Most of what we do might not even involve words. Introvert said amen. But friends, there's a commitment to a journey, to saying yes to Jesus. And so if you weren't here last week, if you haven't had a chance to pick up a card, you can do that now. You can do that as the band plays or on your way out. But I would just invite you to take a card and begin to pray. Maybe today you already know that name. You've been praying for them. Write their name on the back of the card. If you're not sure, take that, put it somewhere you see it every day, and just begin the simple prayer, Lord, who's my one? Who's my one? And as He speaks, write that name down and begin to journey with Him. What does that look like, Lord? What does that look like? Maybe you've been praying for that person, and the thought of having one right now, you already know who God's calling you to reach. And maybe if you were honest today, there's some part of you that's just tired. Maybe you know what that deep sigh is all about. Because it's been that long, it's been that hard. Friend, will you see the truth of Luke 8 today? That for that person in your life, Jesus is enough. Will you trust Him today? Will you trust Him? One small step at a time. Will you trust Him with that one in your life today? Jesus is for one, even that one. He's greater. Would you bow your heads with me? Maybe you're here today and you feel like that one. I don't know your story. I don't know you. Maybe I do. Just feel like in this moment, the Lord's reaching out to you right now. The one that maybe people said is too far, it's been too long, tried too many times. Friend, I want you to hear today that there's nothing in your life that is greater than the power of Jesus to redeem and restore you. And if that's you today, I would just invite you to trust Him, to come into relationship with Him, bow at His feet, and seek Him for new life, for transformation. Yes, for forgiveness and deliverance. You're not too far if you want to come home. Lord Jesus, we thank You today for Your word. We thank You today for Your great power to redeem and restore. Lord, as You put people upon our hearts and oppress upon our minds, Lord, we might have some feels about that. Lord, what we've seen today is that in Luke 8, there was a man that everybody would have said is too far gone. You can't even restrain that guy with chains. He's too far. But Lord, he fell at your feet. And Lord, today we believe you still have that kind of power. So Lord, today we thank you for this reminder, for this encouragement that the one you impress upon our heart is not too far for you. Lord, this is not about us having a spiritual to-do list, a checklist, a project to fix someone, no. Lord, if that's our heart, stop us in our tracks. We simply want to be for one like you were, to step into relationship, to invest, to allow your love and your grace and your mercy to flow through us, that they would come to know you for themselves. Who's my one, Lord? Who's the one that you have for us? We declare in faith today, no one is too far gone for you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.